Good evening. You're listening to Radio UCC 98.3 FM, and I'm your host, Manisha, and we are in My Life in a Suitcase. So today we've started a bit late. Today everything is not working as we wish for it to work. But well, that's life. Some days we have good days and sometimes we have bad days. And sometime it happens that we have more bad days than good days, but it doesn't mean that we have to give up. What it means is we need to just be positive, keep thinking about positive things that can happen, ignore the negative, and work harder and try better. And then that's how we're going to get better things in life. And that's how we are going to have a better and positive attitude without thinking really negative things that might happen. But well, that's all part of life. So today in the show, I have two guests. One is Levi, and the other one is a very lovely, amazing Nadine. Both of the guests today, they are amazing, amazing, amazing people. So Levi is an 18-year-old poet from West Cork, a passionate activist. She has been writing since a young age, jotting her words in filched copybooks and scraps of paper. On International Women's Day 2022, Levi was invited by TD Holly Cairns to recite her poem, Let Our Voices Be Heard at the Dáil. She was also a group recipient of the Garda Youth Awards the same year, and last summer an Edna O'Brien Young Writers Award winner at the Museum of Literature Ireland. So today we'll have an honor of talking to such an amazing, talented young lady. And we also have an amazing author among us today for the show. Her name is Nadine, and Nadine has been very famous in the past few weeks for the book that she has written, Nadine Hughes Campbell. She's a children's author. She has written recently an amazing book that is her son's experiences in Cork. But while I'm not going to tell you more about it, that will be great to listen all from Nadine herself. So before we start the show, some bits and thoughts from my side. Well, the world is still going on the same way it was last week. Nothing much has changed. We are still in war. We are still, women everywhere are suffering. People everywhere are suffering. We are still the cruel human beings we used to be. But just to think about the positive side, I got an honor of visiting Mill Street Community Center. Mill Street Community School last week on Thursday, and they have this amazing cultural event that they have been organizing since past 18 years. Would you believe that? 18 years organizing an amazing, inclusive cultural event, welcoming other cultures, people of different cultures and races in their school, making it easy and comfortable for children and for young people to be able to share their culture, their country their country of origin, to talk about how their culture is, to wear their cultural clothes and comfortably share it with their peers. And in charge of that program is Mr. John McGee, and he has been organizing it for the past 18 years. And it was such an honor to be there as an ambassador for School of Sanctuary Ireland. And it just took me back to my days as a child refugee in Pakistan. And I remembered that I still remember my feeling as a child refugee in Pakistan schools and later in high school. And if they were not kind, if the children and school admin and teachers and faculty and all, if they were not kind, I would have had a very, very rough time. But it wasn't like that. People were very, very kind, though I was an Afghan refugee, but their behavior towards me, the way they treated me, it was nothing but utter kindness. And that helped me a lot to move forward in my life. And to this day, my best friends are still from Pakistan, or the ones that I made during school times. So it is very important to, it's very important to be, to be part of a school where inclusivity is part of the school curriculum, where people from different cultures and different backgrounds are welcome, where a child when enters doesn't come out with a trauma but feels included and feels that they're part of that place. And that is really, really important, because all those children who studied in Mill Street Community School, I'm very sure, same way as me, they will carry those happy memories of Cultural Day and all the other amazing and extraordinary activities and hard work faculty and staff has been putting on in that school to let the children from all different cultures and backgrounds feel included. So hats off to them. That's an amazing experience that made me feel that still humanity is alive. We still do have a good future, because these are children who will one day, they would be running the politics, they would be running the world. And what better lesson than to teach them to be kind and to be accepting of everybody from different cultures and background. This is the best thing a teacher, best gift a teacher can give their student, is to teach them to be kind and not to be afraid of people who are different to them, but be accepting of them and teach and show them and show them their special traits and learn from them their culture and their beliefs. And somewhere in the middle, we all can meet with acceptance and mutuality. So with that thought that someday world is going to be a peaceful place, let's listen to an amazing song called Because You Love Me while we are waiting for our guest. So enjoy the song.
Don't wait for me. I'm not going. I can't believe I watched for years your strength, your pride. You held the doors as I passed you by. Life just passed you by. Now I can tell you wanna go. Don't think of me, 'cause I thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio UCC 98.3 FM. We were enjoying an amazing song from Kaz Hawkins. Yeah, Kaz Hawkins. We're just talking about names with our lovely guest Louis here. But before we talk to Louis, we are going to talk to Nadine, because we have Nadine on the phone with us. So, Nadine, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, Anisha. Thank you so much for having me. I'm good. I'm good. The sun is shining here in Ireland. So how can you not be happy? But yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't be with you in person. I'm so sorry. Life had other plans, and I've got the two kids here with me today.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm a mom myself, you know. I totally understand. So, but we are managing, so that's the perfect thing. And yeah, definitely, today's a really lovely day. And thank you so much for being on the show with us. So just for our listeners, would you kindly please introduce yourself more, you know, like who Nadine is to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Nadine. I'm originally from Montreal, Quebec in Canada. So that's on the East Coast. I moved to Ireland 6 years ago. I got a contract with a company that I was working for back home to do a one-year contract over in Dublin. In our Irish office, and I said, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? I'll get some experience. We'll have an awesome time. I'll go and go for a year, and I'll come back, and I'll, you know, really get my life started back home in Montreal and kind of, you know, become a true adult and do all the adult things. But unfortunately, like today, while I was making plans, life had a totally other new plan for me, and I met my now husband, a very proud Cork man, as I know, now residing here in Cork with two children, a dog, and everything that I thought I was going to have back home in Montreal. I got it here in Cork, and I could not be happier. So, yeah, like I said, 6 years later, I'm still here in Ireland on this beautiful, sunny day, just, you know, actually reminiscing about, you know, how long I've been here, and just so happy and blessed, actually, to be here. So that's
about
me in a nutshell. I don't know.
That's amazing. You know, like, life always has surprises. We seldom get what we wish for, but what we get is better than what we wished for. So that's amazing. So tell us about your book. It's Noah's Adventures in Cork, right? And The book is like spreading like fire. Everybody is talking about it, and it's all over social media. And it's an amazing book, and one of, I think, the first one of its kind, right?
Yeah, actually, I didn't know this until I had the Lord Mayor at one of my reading events, and he actually told me that this is the first children's book that's ever been written about Cork, and I had no idea. I wrote the book, honestly, as a little love letter to Cork from my son. So it was just a way of capturing his childhood and doing all the things that he loves doing, you know, and all the things that so many other Irish kids, you know, here in Cork love doing. And at the same time, you know, when I had him, he's my first, I became immersed in children's books, as you do, you know, as a first-time parent, mm-hmm. or, you know, as any parent or even a guardian to a child. And I kind of realized that, you know, with all of the books that we have sitting on our bookshelf for him and on the floor in his room, there's such a lack in Irish children's books that featured, you know, a child of color. So that was also another reason why I said, you know what, I'm going to write this book, and I'm going to write it for him, and if for nothing, he'll have it. And he'll be able to read to his kids, you know, one day when he's older. So it kind of really took me by surprise, just the response towards the book, honestly. And I'm not saying this, you know, to be shy or anything. I had no idea that, you know, people were just going to take to it so quickly. And, you know, like I said, if I don't even sell a copy, that's fine, as long as he has it. So it's just insane that, you know, I'm actually doing a second print run, and the book was only released in January.
Wow.
So I'm just in awe, really, with just everybody who's just been so positive and just, you know, so, I don't know, just, it's just been a crazy experience. Just like you said, I had no idea. I never saw any of this coming. So I'm just kind of taking everything day by day, really.
It's an amazing book, and many children can relate to it. You see, for many children of color, it's very difficult to relate to something, because most of the books out there, especially children books, they only portray specific type of pictures, and those pictures keep printing again and again on every book. They're just showed like that, and it's like the same story like with toys as well, you know, and it's difficult for them. And it kind of, in their mind, it's a doctrine that we are not the type of a people who are good enough for books or good enough to be portrayed in toys or pictures. And in that is why that's somehow in their minds, the picture is set that that is the best type of a person, and that is the person I should be, or I should look like if I want to be on a book, or if I want to be somebody, you know. And it's very interesting, and I think that is something that will bring a big change. I think your book is going to open doors for other authors to think about it and start writing, or start, you know, bring change. That's going to be a pioneer in that. So what is the response that you got? How do you feel?
It's all really so surreal. The response has been nothing but positive. Everyone has just been so open. They've just been so accepting, just so much love towards the book, which I just think is fantastic. And again, like, it's just a matter of my son and many other Irish children that are dark-skinned, black, whatever it is, you know, to be able to see someone different, you know, on a children's book that was written, you know, here in Cork, written here in Ireland. And I think that's a really big thing, you know what I mean? Because my son, he's only, you know, just 3 and a bit now, but he does recognize, you know, if somebody looks like him or if somebody doesn't. So I think that, you know, like I said, the response has been just extremely positive. And I'm just so grateful as well for all the support that I've been getting here in Cork, also and abroad as well. Yeah. So I'm just really excited, like I said, for that second print run. And then the second book of the series is going to be coming out this summer. So I'm really excited to kind of get that out and share that with everybody as well.
And best of luck with that, and I hope that you do continue writing this adventure. You know, I hope that it just doesn't stop with one book. I really hope that you continue writing his adventures and, you know, documenting his life, and for us to read it and for other children to relate. And I can only imagine what he will feel when he actually grows up and sees and actually knows what all has been going on about.
Yeah, I know, so as well, children were so innocent, you know, now he just thinks it's the norm, but yeah, there's just, the innocence in children is just unbelievable, but yeah, no, I definitely will continue to write, continue to share the story, and again, like I said, so many other children are experiencing and having the same adventure, so it's just nice to kind of see that, you know, all these other kids relate as well, so yeah, I definitely won't stop.
That's amazing. Thank you very much. And Nadine, I really hope that, you know, when we'll be back in September, I really hope that we can see you on the show so we can talk to you more about your further plans and about so many other interesting part of your life. But I know today you're a bit busy. So thank you very much for giving us the time, and thank you for coming on the show. It's really an honor to have someone like you on the show.
No, thank you so much for inviting me. Honestly, it was a pleasure. It was so nice to speak to you. And definitely, once you're back in September, I can't wait to get in the studio and to sit with you and have another chat.
That's great. Yeah, same here. Thank you so much. And we'll let you go, Nadine. Have a lovely, lovely evening with your children. And we'll talk to you soon.
Too.
So that was Nadine on the phone with us. I actually got a chance to meet her on a Good Day Cork's program. Good Day Cork is an organization that that Joanna Dukipati is running, and it's an amazing it's a newsletter that is published, and there's lots of amazing poetry and different types of programs and design. And I really hope that you can search Good Day Cork and learn more about it. So I had the honor of meeting Nadine on one of their Good Day Cork's program that called Many Tongues of Cork. And that is how I got to know her. And thank you so much for being on the show today again, Nadine. And hopefully we'll have you again in September. So before we move to Levy, let's listen to one another song, and we will be back very soon, and we're talking to a very, very talented, amazing young Levy.
Oh, Mario, look at moi si yo moko bala. Mario, musalo be kulinga ba mama mo bokoli. Basuka yote, ah.
Lelo makambo, lobi makambo, na lembi eh. Lelo bitumba lobi koso na e na baye eh. Na boyi ko baby sanzoto na matanka na lembi eh. Mario na lembi eh. Mario na baye eh.
Oh Mario, nasi na peki sayo. Kulinga kapesi bazena mbongo. Yo kandenge azaliko kabayo. Na mitema ya basi pe na mibali. Yo moto zena ba diplome mitano Mario. Sala kame me foro luka mosala Mario. Pona nino zako baby saka usambu sa kombo nobo Mario. Ah, nalembi.
Ba protinga na pakolaka. Zote koma sembe sembe. Oko pete ngana soka. Lobi na swa maladi ya kanser. Lobi tango na kopola yo kimi na ye. Mario na ba ye. Mario na lembi ye.
Ba familia Mario bakani saka. Mario ape saka nga mosoro. Nzo kanga moto na lati saka. E na li saka e na lali saka e. Mario na lembi.
Enjoying such an amazing and enthusiastic music. Now we are all energized to talk to Levy. Levy, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. I've been waiting to have you on the show for such a long time. You are a very you're a very aspiring young person, and you are, I think, a very, very good, positive role model for many of the girls and boys and young people out there. So that's perfect. So tell us about yourself. So who is Levy in your own words?
Thank you so much for having me to start with. I'm literally, like I said, I'm fangirling. Like, being in here is my first time on a radio show. But, yeah, so my name is Levy and I'm from West Cork. I'm of mixed race heritage, mm-hmm. so Nigerian and Irish traveller. Mm-hmm. In my own words, maybe a chaotic mess sometimes with the leaving cert and all that. But yeah, I'd say I'd like to consider myself as an activist. Mm-hmm. Definitely like through my poetry, I like to convey my thoughts on certain things going on in the world. So I'd like to consider myself as that. Actually, it feels like privilege to be considered a role model of anything, because even looking towards yourself and other amazing activists, I just really see a lot of, it's really important to see change. So I'd like to consider myself that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And you do definitely are bringing a lot of change, and that is amazing, because till now our listeners have not listened to your poetry, so they don't know, but I have, so I know. So tell us, how did you find your way to writing?
I think I've always just been writing since as a kid. Like, I'd always be like taking the copies that my mom had in the stationery press, mm-hmm. because I'd be running out of paper. I'd be writing in everything, newspapers, the back of a cardboard box. Like, I just always wanted to write. Mm-hmm. And I always remember getting like my first fairy book from my mm-hmm. parents and like, oh, this is so cool. I felt like really immersed in the world, I think. Anyway, I did start off maybe copying those fairy stories, but I would change yeah. something in it. But actually, even just listening to Nadine, I always felt like I couldn't see myself in the stories. So when I changed these stories, I would put a character that I could convey myself through. And I think from there, like, even my mom's a writer herself, I think maybe I get it from her.
Yeah.
But even from that, I'd be just be writing a few words, I'd be rhyming, you know, it would start off with very maybe soppy kind of things. But then I think maybe around 10, 11, that's when I started to feel very passionate about stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember there, you know, you'd have people coming in giving talks. Like, we had Marisha Conlon McKenna one day, I remember, and she was going around asking people, what do you want to do when you grow up? You know, we had people want to be a doctor, a nurse, and I was like, I want to win the Nobel Peace Prize, you know. I really thought I could save the world, like. But I think I've always just been writing. It's always been something. I've always was the daydreamer in the class, definitely, I think. Yeah,
that's amazing for someone your age to think that they want to be the, you know, they want to get the award for the Peace Prize. That's very inspiring. That's amazing. So now you've started writing from such a young age, and I've seen that you have received so many awards. Tell us more about it. Tell us more about your achievements.
So I used to always just really keep my poetry in the notebook. I never really showed it to anyone for a start until I started going with eight other Traveller girls mm-hmm. in a movie we made together called Wheel of Dreams. Mm-hmm. And that went on to premiere at Cork Film Festival and abroad. I cannot think the name. Oh, yeah. The Indigenous Film Festival as well. And Michelor in Galway. Through that, we had mentors mentoring in certain aspects of things. Mm-hmm. And I kind of opened up that I do writing. So mm-hmm. I was mentored by the amazing spoken word poet Felicia Speaks. Mm-hmm. And from there, I discovered that spoken word poetry is something I really, really like to do. From there, I continued on and I applied for the Edna O'Brien Writers Scholarship. And I was very lucky that with 14 other young writers, I was chosen to work alongside them. And we spent a week up in Dublin and we were mentored by other writers as well, like Max Porter, things like that, and Macaulay McCann. And it was a great time, you know, we were with Jessica Traynor, another poet. So I felt very inspired by all of that, just continue writing. Through the movie, I was also invited by TD Holly Cairns to say my poem, Let Our Voices Be Heard, at the Dáil. Mm-hmm. And that was a very like powerful moment for me because I really felt like someone was listening to the words. Like, they weren't just on the paper, I was delivering them out. And from there, I just always felt like I always want to show how I feel through the words. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
That is like, I cannot even say anything. That is so extraordinary. I don't think if I can say anything, that can be, you know, so I'm not going to say anything. So you come from two different backgrounds,
yeah.
and both of them are backgrounds which are difficult to have in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see, like, I come from an Afghan background, and both my parents are Afghan, mm-hmm. and I know, like, to have an Afghan passport is the worst thing to have. But still, I'm very proud of my heritage, mm-hmm. and I'm proud that where I'm from, but I'm not sure I can say the same thing about my child, you know? But you're coming from two difficult backgrounds. How do you feel? How has that experience been?
As a kid, I think sometimes this is going to sound so silly, but I actually would forget that I'm Black. Does that make any sense? I don't know. I always would like, I would do certain, like, I could be in the shop with my friends and then you'd have someone staring at you. I'd be like, what are they staring at? And they would be white and they'd be saying, oh, they're looking at you. And I'm like, why would they be looking at me? Because I never, as a child, my mum never raised us to see a difference. And maybe as a kid, we thought that was fine. But looking on, my mom kind of always thought she kind of wished she told us a bit more. Because mm-hmm. as a child, we didn't really know about being a traveller. Mm-hmm. You know, it was always, oh, you're Irish, your background is traveller, Irish, mm-hmm. and Nigerian. So I always kind of felt it was pushed back. I didn't really carry that. But I think, yeah, through the movie and just getting, like, as a teenager, I wanted to know more about myself. I wanted to know more about my Nigerian culture and more about the Irish traveller culture. And through doing that, I think I more noticed the things that I saw when I was younger. It's more, oh, that's why such and such a thing happened. That's why they looked at me in the shop. That's why I was followed. That's why they said such a thing. And I think, as a kid, you know, you'd brush it off. Mom would always say, oh, don't listen to them, you know, but she always carried that herself. So she kind of, it was normalized for her. But as a child, I would be wondering why. So as a teenager, I could see that more. But now I wanted to challenge that. I didn't want to just ignore them. I wanted to say, why do you have that problem? Why do you think that about me? So I think now I'm more confident in myself for a bit. I kind of hid it and I didn't, mm-hmm. you know, I'd be straightening my hair. I wouldn't have any of my ethnic features. But now I'm like, yeah, I'm an Irish traveller. Yeah, I'm Nigerian. I don't care. I'm happy about it. But yeah, it definitely wasn't easy at the start having two of those because it always kind of felt like you weren't Nigerian enough or Irish enough. But now I think I definitely embrace the two cultures and know that they can both, they both exist in the same space. I don't have to be assimilate in a certain way. So yeah.
Yeah, and you are a part of two beautiful cultures.
Thank
and
you.
You're amalgamation of two beautiful cultures, and you yourself are very, very beautiful. And your mom is right. Don't listen to them. She's right. They might be jealous how pretty you are.
You're too kind.
So what's your idea about the world right now?
Right now, honestly, it feels a bit hopeless, to be honest. Like, you know, as a kid, everything looks so beautiful, colourful. Your parents shield you from everything.
Yeah.
But unfortunately now, just even with through the power of social media, you can see more about what's happening. And sitting here and seeing a genocide happening, for example, in Palestine, or seeing, like, young girls in Afghanistan stripped of their rights, things like that just, like, absolutely horrify me. And I think sometimes maybe people think I'm doing too much, like I react too much, I'm too sensitive about it. But for me, like as a woman, I think that's an important thing for me. I like to be considered sensitive because I think it's important that once you lose your empathy, I think you lose yourself as a person. So for me, looking at the world, it just really hurts. But I use my poetry then as an outlet, and I'd like to hope through that I can maybe amplify certain voices. But yeah, it's definitely scary looking around, and even here in Ireland, like thinking you might never have a home anymore. And I even saw on the news there recently about a man who verbally attacked black teenagers in Dublin, and even seeing things like that, it's like, I think it's so normalised, unfortunately, that I have hatred going on. But then, you know, I took the more positive things as well, like even talk shows like this that are important to amplify unheard voices. So I think, yeah, unfortunately, it does feel a bit hopeless, but you have to try and remind yourself as well of what the good things are being done. So, yeah.
Well, that is true. And the good thing is, though there is a lot of darkness going on in the world, but people like you, they gave us hope, because you see, you are our future. Mm-hmm. You are going to be in Dal one day yourself. You know, you are going to run the politics one day. You're going to run a country one day. And this kindness that you have, to be honest, I don't think that reacting immensely towards bad things is a bad thing. It's good. if we don't have those emotions, then we are just going to be senseless. Mm-hmm. And if you're senseless, then that's going to happen. Like right now, we see that a lot of bad things is going around in the world, and there are many people who just, they don't care anymore, because they think if they react over it, or that's just craziness. But that's not true. Sometimes it's good to be crazy. If you're not crazy, you cannot get results, so it's good.
Oh, I'll take that now. I like that quote. Crazy can get results. Yeah. That's generation.
So would you like to recite any of your poems for us today?
Actually, I have one here. If I go to my notes app, I'll see the most unhinged things I write at like 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. I think I'm like an absolute academic genius, and I look it after, like, what am I writing? I have one that's through Irish and English, and it is actually about some things going on in the world at the moment. Is that okay?
Perfect. Anything you read is okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So this poem is called Aistig, and it's infused with a bit of English and Irish. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. Aistig loma derme. Cianach cúla na pátí fuin fargi darag. Their cri imaha. Gan dolcus, gan gra. Eisiki loma derme. Can you not shut your eyes to see as James Joyce urged us? Feel it. Feel the suffering they feel, that we too endured. Eisiki liva derme. Their little faces haunt my dreams, and their wails scratch the insides of my sula. Something made from nightmares. In Alan Day, Eistug, you told us Gaelga will always be our first changa. You told us never again. Yet ye sit with their terror in your palms, and you sign your names in their blood. Eistug loma corda. A tear gone changa is a tear gone anam. But how can a soul survive if it is buried beneath the rubble of denial? That's the poem.
That's amazing. Though I don't understand any part of the Irish.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Do you give a translation or anything? Or
would you like to do that?
I can do that, yeah. Sorry, Nate.
For our listeners who just like me, who really, really want to know. But it sounded like amazing. It sounded divine.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'll do the translation now. So Aistig means listen in English. Listen to me, I said. Can you not hear the children beneath the water and beneath the waves of blood? Their hearts are gone, without hope, without love. Listen to me, I said. Can you not shut your eyes to see, as James Joyce urged us? Feel it. Feel the suffering they feel, that we too endured. Listen to them, I said. Their little faces haunt my dreams, and their wails scratch the insides of my sula. something made from nightmares. In the name of God, listen. You told us that Irish will always be our first language. You told us never again. Yet you sit with their terror in your palms, and you sign your names in their blood. Listen to me, friends. A country without a language is a country without a soul. But how can a soul survive if it is buried beneath the rubble of denial?
Wow, that's amazing. That's those words are extraordinary and so touching.
Thank you.
So touching. So, Lovie, what are your plans for future? What do you want to do?
For the future, I'd actually love to study here in UCC. Mm-hmm. At the moment, the CAO is getting changed every 5 minutes. I don't know what I want to do. I really want to be an occupational therapist, but mm-hmm. Going to the open day here, I kind of see that maybe it's a path I'm thinking of, but I'm not 100% sure at the moment. Mm-hmm. So on top of the list is social science, because mm-hmm. I'm also between that and teaching, which are very different. But yeah, we'll see what happens. What's meant to be is meant to be. So.
And what about your activism? What do you want to do about that?
I hope to definitely continue being an activist, advocating for people that deserve the rights, for example, Irish travellers here in Ireland and mm-hmm. people of colour. For at the moment, I actually will be performing more poetry at a Traveller Pride event in May. Mm-hmm. And I also hope to attend more rallies. I do attend local ones in Clonakilty, but I hope to attend more here in Cork. And also just continue writing the poetry and try to showcase my thoughts and activism through that.
That is amazing. That sounds like great, great plans. So, well, we'll continue talking to you. And before that, let's listen to one song and let's take a short break.
Safi baby jo unatisha beba raha twende usijali form ni instant na lugha yako leo utaitika leta sana lete kiburi takumaliza na beshte yako wali nitamada twende sana twende si ati tutashindwa lakini tabia yako nini bana I say hello chunga utaniebisha kabla twende sana kau kichua nataka westmola kwa Cynthia alafu badae utadishi na chumvi juu kachumbari imeisha.
Welcome back. It's quarter to five and we are in the studio. It's me and Lovie today and we are having loads of fun chatting and talking about her poetry. So Lovie, tell me, what are the different types of topics that you normally write about?
So, as the poem I read earlier, sometimes it is about things that I'm witnessing in the world and mm-hmm. I want to write about because I feel so passionately about them. And sometimes they range to really unhinged thoughts I'm having, like in the moment where I'm like stressed out about something and I'm like, mm-hmm. whoa, I wrote that. And then I write about my family, my friends. Sometimes I'm driving my friends insane because I have a habit of just staring at them. Yeah. Like, oh, I want to write about the way your eyes look right now or your smile. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, so maybe it's something a bit like that. But I write about my Nana a lot. There's quite a few poems about mm-hmm. her as well. And I do have one here.
Yeah, would you like to read it for us? Yeah,
and
please.
And it's kind of a bit more like prose, I suppose. But yeah, it's about my Nana.
Okay.
So this one is called Lilies. My grandmother never liked white lilies. She said they're an omen of death. You could bring her a pansy of poppies, drooping daisies from a passing field, or a voluptuous array of violets, but God help you if you brought lilies. I'd smell the sickly sweet perfume of them and feel ensconced by their scent, making me prisoner. As a child, I liked to gather wildflowers and tumble them into my grandmother's lap. In my childish fever, I saw roses, daffodils, tulips, and honeysuckle. My grandmother would guide me through the true treasures before us. Dandelions, buttercups, weeds and plenty, and sun-scorched blades of grass. I recall the day where we found a ladybird, nestled on the brown wire mat on her front porch. My grandmother searched for the outdoor brush, but us children begged her to let us keep it. So in a jam jar lay Daisy, and we fed her morsels of bread and mashed raisins. When Daisy got too big, too fat, said grandmother, we let her free in the garden on a leafy bush. Daisy stayed for all of 30 seconds, before he or she, grandmother said she, flew away to safety. My grandmother is older now. She doesn't like big crowds, but loves her shopping. She makes my tea just right, but leaves hers second, as she has to reboil the kettle. She likes to sit fixated at a crackling television, with empty sweet wrappers like flower petals cascaded around her. She still listens to my teenage rants, my frustrated tears and silent nudge, Nana, it's that time of the month. My girlish gossip and constant questions. What do you think of that lad, Nana? She smiles at me and often says, I am so proud of the young woman you have become. I merely smile back, as I am a flowered mirror of her.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It took me back to my days when my Nana was alive, and I had a very special relationship with her. And so that's lovely. If, you know, poetry is amazing. If somebody listens to it or reads it and they go in their own mind and emotions, it means it's very strong. So that's well done.
Thank you. That's such a compliment. Thank you.
Have you ever been to Nigeria?
I haven't. And, you know, that's one place I always want to go. It's like top of the bucket list. Like, I was meant to go this year with Dad, but there's a bit of conflict going on there at the moment, unfortunately. So it's a bit dangerous. And the prices for tickets are a joke, I tell you. They're all coming here. They can't go back. Like, they keep telling us, go back to your country. But if you could, like... No, but yeah, I definitely... I'd love to visit, though, definitely. It's on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah. So hopefully you'll visit one day and then you'll see the roots, you know, the roots. So... about all the poems that you have written, Louis, which one is closest to your heart?
Oh, that's a great question, actually.
And a second part of the question, and that would be the last one. Is there a book coming?
Oh, I wish. But I am published with the Museum of Literature Ireland from mm-hmm. the Writing Scholarship. Mm-hmm. And the public copies will go in print, I think, in the next week or so. So mm-hmm. that'll be from the Museum of Literature Ireland.
You know,
get my royalties and joke out. I do have a poem published in that called Bailadish mm-hmm. that I wrote during my time studying there. So that will be that. But maybe in the future, there could be a book. But in relation to my favourite poem, I don't know. I think I give so much of myself to different poems that... I don't know if I can choose a specific one,
mm-hmm.
but I think if I had to choose one, it would be Let Your Voices Be Heard, because I think that's the poem that not only let everyone else's voices heard, but my own. I think that's the poem that showed myself that this writing can go further and I can do more with it. I think that's the one.
And by any chance, would you have that with you today?
If I have it hidden away somewhere in the notes, I'll check there now. Usually I do. Let's see. Sorry, Nate.
No, you're grand. And I'm just thinking about people keep thinking that, you know, there are some people who are really, really against refugees and asylum seekers and all. But look, without... You wouldn't be born.
No, that's it said right. Like, absolutely. Like, I wouldn't even be here sitting at all. Like, and, you know, I think we even have to look at things that are happening in the world, you know, like even through like anything really. Like, you say, oh, you know, we don't want this person, that person. It's like, we should take maybe a deep breath for yourself and think to yourself, you know, when you go outside and you go, as I say, to that shop, say, you get your bread every day, who's working behind the counter, you know? Who's, if you're sitting at home, maybe you can't work for a specific reason, who's, how are you getting your payment? You know, things like that. I'm obviously not judging if my mum doesn't work at the moment, but it's just little things like that, even think to yourself, or, you know, your own child could become best friends with someone that's, you know, a refugee. And for me, I think it's so important to realise that the world is constantly changing. You know, we've always been here. Yeah. You can hide in your own house with the curtains closed and whatever you want, like, but we're going to be here. We're staying, you know. And I think, honestly, at the end of the day, I think I've got to the point now where someone has an issue. I think it's something they're going through themselves, you know. They're just projecting that onto other people. And I think, yeah, I think that'll be my thought on that.
That's true. So just for all the races out there, let me tell you, like, be whoever you want. Just don't be a person who is going to hurt another person just because they are better and braver than you. Please don't be that person.
Okay. that.
So let's listen to that.
Perfect. I did find it there. This one is one of the more, I think I just have it sometimes with poetry. I try to be a bit obscure, like, oh, I don't want to offend that person. Yeah. But then I have to remind myself, like, younger me did not care. She was naming and shaming, like, so this one's quite out there. So let your voices be heard. We live in a world where we still have segregation. Obligations we can't see. Yet you and me, I do believe that we can achieve and receive what's necessary for us as a nation. No more separation. Joined in a unity, together a community. But we need to listen to one another. Be there for each other. We must be heard. Actions speak louder than words. Yet we still had a man begging on his knees. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Over and over until his breath did cease. He said never again. No more atrocities. You have innocent Muslims in camps being murdered. People, please. Wake up. Wake up. Use your platform to spread the word. We need to come together. Let our voices be heard. Save each other. We are sisters and brothers. Standing together in one place. The human race.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Because that is a message that we all should hear it loud and clear. And something that war is not right, you know, like hatred brings war and war brings more war. And that's the circle that continues. But meeting you today, Levi, it just gives me the hope that we are not in a very dark place yet. There is still hope to the world. Still, the dark forces of the world has to fight really, really bitter fights with people like you who are going to be a positive light for everybody else and are going to show us the mirror every day and going to show us the way so we can reach where humanity should be. So thank you very, very much for
thank
coming
you
on the show today.
Me. I was absolutely like, delighted to be here. Thank you. I'm so fangirling. How many of them in here?
I'm like really thrilled and very excited and really privileged to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
And I hope to have you again. And best of luck for all your future endeavors, especially I would really love to have a book of you in my home.
Oh, wow.
So I really hope that someday you will publish it.
Thank you.
I hope that you can reach your dream to coming and study in UCC.
Thank you.
And I know that someday you're going to get a really, really high place.
Oh.
And you're going to affect positively the world in a great way. So thank you very much for coming to the world, coming to the show.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Okay. So as you know, every few shows I keep, you know, I keep playing this song. So I'm going to play it once again because I want Levi to hear to it as well. So see you next week, same place, same time with yet another amazing guest. And till then, have a lovely week. Bye.
Bye.